As we continue thinking about being a disciple of Jesus or an apprentice to the Master, and we have had a little bit of a look as to what apprenticeship is, or discipleship as it is. Apprentice is probably the word that we would use today, which is closest to the idea of being a disciple of Jesus. We've looked at these things over the last couple of weeks, a bunch of different things. And as we think about it, one of the things that will become apparent today with the calling, I think, is being immersed in the learning experience. It's one of the things that we've thought about, being immersed in the learning experience. Apprenticeship or discipleship was something that involved all of you as you followed somebody else, learned how to live the way that they live, learned to do the practices and the disciplines that they practiced and did. And so this idea of immersed in the learning experience, I think, comes through as we think about some of the disciples being called and what it is that they were responding to and how it is that they were responding. Some of the Nielsen research as we think about today and life for us has highlighted the fact that worldwide people spend an average of 6 hours and 38 minutes per day on screens. If we could just get our act together and round it up to 6 hours and 40 minutes, that would be good, wouldn't it? Or maybe down to 6 hours and 30 minutes. This might not be you, and this might not be an issue for you, how much time you spend on a screen. But for a moment, let's just think about this. And if you want to take out the idea of spending time on the internet or on screens, take that out and put something else in that is more relevant to you, then feel free to do that. But this is a common reality for today. That 6 hours and 38 minutes we can actually put into a table. So this is from Nielsen's research, I believe, and break it down into the age groups of 16 to 24, 25 to 34, 35 to 44, all the way up to 65 plus, as well as male and female. One of the things that I noticed, and I'm not sure how easily you can read it from where you are, but there is not that much difference between female and male. There's many differences between female and male, but on this research, there's a few minutes in each age group, but there is a quite substantial difference between 3 hours and 35 minutes for a 16 to 24-year-old female to 4 hours and 7 minutes for a 65-plus female. But even then, when you think of somebody who is 65 years old and the screens that they had when they grew up and how much time they probably spent on them, I am not 65 yet, but some of you here might like to talk to me about this later if you are. It seems to me, I am old enough to remember turning a TV on and then going and having a cup of tea before you could actually see anything. Does anybody here remember that? Let's turn the TV on. Do you remember turning the TV off? And the little... Some of you are going, what? Do you remember going up to the TV, turning it on, and it's not, and you're just trying to swipe? No, that didn't happen. So anyway, we're all different. We come from, I guess, different backgrounds, and our realities today are different, and this is lumping some of those realities together according to age and gender. But there is a reality that today, a lot of life is lived through a screen. Not actually in reality. And sometimes this is highlighted, isn't it? When you go to a concert or you see something, and you're standing there watching the concert, or you're watching the celebrity that is in front of you, or whatever's going on, and you look around and everybody is watching them through their phone as they film them. And it's almost like, well, it's great that you're here, but you could be somewhere else doing that. According to other research, February 2025, this was put together, the main reasons for using the internet. You're not going to be able to see this from where you are, but the top one is 62.8% of the reasons, the main reasons for using the internet, and it says finding information. That's the main reason. If you go all the way to the bottom two is gaming, 30.4%, and then the very bottom one, 30.1%, is research-related, is work-related research. To which I'm going, thinking, yeah, right. How much work-related research is actually gaming? But anyway, there's a lot going on with regards to there, what it is are the reasons that people are on their screens. And we'll go through a few of them a bit more closely in a minute, and I'll have hopefully something you'll be able to read. But the reality is that we are being shaped and formed by the internet. I don't know if you noticed, I saw an article come out, and this is how I've been feeling with the rise of artificial intelligence. There was an article that said AI is collapsing trust with what we read on the internet. Because I can tell that an article has been generated by AI. It's clear, but I don't know anything about the accuracy of it. Everybody is being discipled. Everybody is an apprentice to something or somebody. You, me. And some of us will be very thoughtful and intentional about who it is that is discipling us and who it is that we are an apprentice to. Who or what is discipling you? That is to ask who is forming you or what is forming you or filling your soul or bringing you life and bringing you purpose. Is it the internet? Now, the internet's not bad necessarily. There's bad things on the internet, but the internet itself is not necessarily bad, but it could be family, friends, or work. Those things aren't necessarily bad either, but they may not be in any given situation or circumstance what it is that you want to be forming you and filling your soul. Is it a political party? Is it church? None of these things are necessarily bad in and of themselves, but are they ultimately who we want to be shaping us? Is it indeed your own shame that has the biggest voice in shaping who you are moving forward? Or is it Jesus? And that's what our series on being an apprentice to the master is all about. And so in our passage this morning, we see in verses 19 and 20, Jesus says to a couple of guys, come follow me. He says, I'll send you out to fish for people because they're fishermen. And he says that once they left their nets and they followed him. A little bit later, in verse 22, Jesus calls to a couple other guys. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. That was a great day for dad, wasn't it? Can you see what's happened in both these situations of Jesus calling people and them becoming his disciples? I'll lay it out for you. There was this thing which was an invitation. Then they left something or someone behind, or even both. They followed immediately and there was no internet. Did you notice that? They made a conscious decision, and maybe they didn't know. In fact, they didn't know everything they were stepping into, did they? But they made a decision, an intentional decision. And actually, if you look at the stories across the Gospels of the calls of the disciples, you'll see that what we have here in Matthew's Gospel is actually a pretty thinned down version of what did happen. Though one of the things that is emphasized in the other Gospels as well is that idea of immediacy at the point of calling. What I'm suggesting, though, is that there is a background to that call and that immediacy. We actually won't come across the calling of Levi or Matthew until chapter 9 of Matthew's Gospel. There's a lead up. If you were to go to Luke chapter 5 verses 4 to 8, and I've sort of cut out the main bits of it for you, you'll see a bit more with regards to the interaction that Jesus has with Simon. It says, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Master, we've worked all night, hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Passive-aggressive Peter. And then they pull in such a haul that they have to call another boat to help. And it says it filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This is the background to the, hey, Peter, follow me. Peter drops everything immediately and goes. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." This is somebody who perhaps is in danger of allowing his shame to be the main voice with regards to who he will become in his life's journey. And Jesus has sort of come in, thankfully, and over a period of, it would appear, about 3 years, is going to gently and at times not so gently help Peter with who it is that he is becoming. But there is always a backstory. There's always a backstory. If you are an evangelist who likes to go and share with other people the good news of Jesus, and I'd encourage you all to be evangelists, but if you are, we are in danger of forgetting. It is helpful to always remember there is a backstory. That you are being brought into somebody else's story that Jesus has known about since before you did and has been active in. There's always a backstory. God is always working. If we go to John's Gospel, and I started our time this morning with a little bit of John chapter 1. It says, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. It was actually, I think, when they heard John say who Jesus was. Here is the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. It says, turning around, Jesus saw them following and said, "That's creepy, stop doing that." No, he said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher. In other words, it's quite explicit. "Rabbi, the master, the one who takes on disciples, where are you staying?" Which is a really gentle and polite way, which allows Jesus, without having to face any dishonor or shame, to be able to say no. It's a very gentle way of saying, "We want to follow you and live where you live and eat when you eat and walk where you walk." And so they say, "Where are you staying?" And he says, "Come and you'll see." I love that. So Jesus says, "Yeah, come and check it out. Why not dip your feet in? It's like an orientation day at uni. Come and have a look." In 1 John 43 to 46, a little bit after this, there's calling of more disciples. He said, we're told that he finds Philip. He says to him, "Follow me." And Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We've found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. How rude. Philip doesn't argue about whether or not something good can come out of Nazareth. He just follows Jesus' lead and says, "Come and see. Dip your toe in." It's an invitation, isn't it? I love invitations. Come and see. And then in the rest of our passage, verses 23 to 24, we see a snippet of what it is that they are now coming to see. Did you notice? As he calls his disciples and they start to follow him, this is what they are following. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching, proclaiming the good news of this kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. People brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. Come and see. It's a little bit like, come and see what Dr. Jesus is doing in the emergency department. Come and be an intern. Watch, listen, learn. And if you are familiar with what happens further on, not that much further on, I might add, in the Gospels, Jesus actually says, "Now you guys, go and do these things." Because an apprentice, to learn, to sit at somebody's feet, to follow, to be a disciple, has always been about doing. It's modeled, you practice, you do. And so Jesus is doing this. They're following him, and it's causing a bit of a stir. In verse 25a, just the first part of verse 25, it says, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, the region across Jordan, followed him. There's actually a whole lot of people. There's a multitude who are dipping their toes and coming to see. In fact, if you know the story well, as we're talking about the calling of disciples, where Jesus very intentionally and purposely chose We're told in another gospel account that Jesus stayed awake the entire night praying, and then the next day chose the disciples. And it's emphasized, including Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. Jesus is very intentional about the 12. But you would remember there's other parts in the gospel where Jesus actually goes, he just really raises the bar, because there's so many people coming and seeing that every now and again Jesus just says, it's sort of like, are you serious? Because if you're not, then maybe it's better if you don't. But this is causing a stir. It's real life, it's real chaos, there's real miracles happening. Now just imagine you're one of the disciples, you've said, Jesus, I want to see where you're staying. Jesus said, hey, well, come and see. And you're following Jesus, you're walking with him, you are eating with him, you are on the road with him going where he goes, you're watching him heal. There might even be moments where Jesus turns to you and says, you lay your hands on him and pray for him and see him be healed. As he gives his apprentices, his disciples, the opportunity, what would you then, if you had an access to an iPad or an iPhone or an Android, I'm not fussy, and had the opportunity to Google, what would you? If you were Peter in that moment, what would you Google? Now, some of those things which were the main reasons for using the internet, the top one, 62.8%, is finding information. If you were there following Jesus, do you think you would need to do that? Is there something you would need to know? Do you need to go to Dr. Google when Jesus is there going, oh, you're blind? There, you can see. You don't, do you? The next one, staying in touch with friends and family. The interesting thing is these guys have decided to leave. In fact, Jesus makes it really clear at one point if you're going to follow. Now, Jesus also highlights that family is extremely important, but that there is someone of greater importance. The next one is keeping up to date with news and events. Do you think you would have to do that if you were following Jesus? No, because the news and events would be happening there. What about watching videos, TV shows, or movies? Why would you? Would you, while you're following Jesus, go, The Chosen? Want to watch The Chosen? No, you wouldn't. You are watching The Chosen. What about researching how to do things? Why would you need to? You wouldn't. What about finding new ideas or inspiration? That's 46.9%. I don't think so. Maybe the internet's not the issue for you. There is a fullness. There is a richness. When Jesus says, I came that you might have life to the full. One of the dangers in life is to not live it. And gee, the internet helps us not live life. I'm sorry. And sometimes when we do live life with the internet, if it's too firmly, something that we're too firmly attached to, it doesn't help us to live life well. The interesting thing is the one below the bottom one, 46.9%, the one just below that at 45.2% is filling up spare time and general browsing. I think if you are following Jesus, you would not need to do that. Because life would have gone from black and white to technicolor. And so there is this invitation to come and really see. And as we think about what is happening in this passage, every type of insurmountable problem is being brought to Jesus. All the problems of the day, illnesses, demon possession. Discipleship of Jesus does not take us out of the world. Did you notice that for these guys? As they follow Jesus into the world. And following Jesus into the world helps us to better engage with the world. And that's a part of our vision statement, with the idea of the love of God that shapes us and forms us as individuals and as a community, that then goes out into the world, that we might show others what it is like to live life to the full. When it talks about all these people coming to Jesus and bringing all these things, at the end of verse 24, it says, and he healed them. It's the way that it works. You follow Jesus, you find life to the full. And then others find you, and by finding you, they find Jesus, and life to the full comes to them. So one of the things that we looked at last week is that God is enough for you. We should trust him. We should follow him. We should leave the things that need to be left behind. We should, without delay, follow him. Now, there's always a backstory, and I don't know where you, as you come here this morning, or as you watch on the internet, I don't necessarily know how much of a backstory and what it is that Jesus has done, what experience it is that you have had of him. And so maybe for you it's a little bit of a dipping the toe. Maybe for some of you it's time for a more committed step forward and into what it is that God has for you. Maybe for some of you it's just the opportunity at the beginning of a new year to remind yourselves of who it is that you are as a disciple of Jesus. But I encourage you to think about where you are in that process of being loved and growing in Christ as an individual and growing into our community here and as somebody who is then equipped and empowered to go out into the world. And where it is that maybe you need help or there's things that are slowing you down. If I was brutally honest with myself, I look at the second from the left and that idea of my identity being formed, and I can probably say the amount of screen time I had last week probably impacted that negatively. When I'm in a bad place, I scroll more. It's always counterintuitive. When you're in a bad place, run to Jesus. Do you think that really frustrates me the most is when I'm on Instagram and I come to one of those Instagram posts that says, stop scrolling and pray. It's like, shut up. So this morning, an invitation for you to come and see is just to think if it's helpful for you this morning, and maybe this isn't where you're at, but I pray that something here might be helpful, is to pause for a moment. What might be helpful to let go of so that you have greater freedom and space to come and see as a disciple of Jesus? Now, it could be technology, which I've talked about this morning, but it could be work or career, it could be your reputation, and working way too many hours so that other people think good of you than you need to. It could be a hobby that is blown out of control, or, if you're like me, it could be a list of hobbies that are blown out of control. It could be the expectations that you have for yourself are out of control. It could be the shame. It could be the shame that needs to be brought to Jesus so that you might find cleaning and forgiveness and be able to let go of that shame so that you're better able to follow him more closely. So I encourage you to make space to take stock this week, because it's a stock take, isn't it? It's a stock take of the things that you have that are a burden, that are actually stopping you living life to the full, that is life with Jesus. I'd love to pray for you as you think about those things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus. We thank you for his invitation to come and to see. I pray, Lord, that you would help each of us to know where it is that we sit with you, to have a clarity about that, and especially around the things that might come between us. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we continue through Matthew's Gospel over the coming week and we continue to think about being disciples, that we might be encouraged, that you might be working in us, that you might be shaping us, that we might be living life to the full, and that we might be empowered and equipped, that we might be inspired to go out into the world, to make a difference, to help others live life to the full. In Jesus' name, amen.